and getting started and talking about this issue with anxiety. Rather than interchanging it in, I just want to share a little bit about my testimony, where I've come from with this and what I've dealt with. And one of the things I've shared with you before, that when I was about to graduate high school, my dad died suddenly, and it was a thing that really just kind of, it really changed my world. It sort of rocked things that I was thought was going to be steady, was going to be solid. And one of the big consequences of that, as I moved forward in my life, was that I really began to struggle with anxiety. Because you know stuff like that happens, but you don't really know it until you actually experience it. And then it's like this whole new world opens up, and I realize this could happen anytime with anyone. And so it led me to be extremely anxious and fearful, to the point where I was always worried that something might happen to somebody else. When I was in college, if I called my mom sometimes and she didn't answer the phone, immediately my head just starts taking me down a trail that I don't need to be on, thinking and getting all anxious, worried, very fearful about, you know, what if something happened to her too. And so I dealt with that, struggled with that, and in some sense, my mind can start, even now, can deal with this, where my mind still starts going down those same unhelpful, anxious patterns. And so I say that because I've learned so much since that time, and the stuff that we'll be looking at and sharing and talking through tonight are the very things that help me, and in a lot of ways keeping things simple. It really helped me to be where I'm at now. And like I said, I still have those times where my mind can start to go down that road, but I've learned these things that have helped me, this truth that has helped me to really stop that from spiraling out of control. And so I want you to realize that I'm coming to talk about this from the Word of God, because that's our authority, but also want you to realize that I've lived this. There were times in my life where it brought me down to really, in reality, a deep depression. And so this is hopefully I'm trying to bring it to you from the Word of God, but I've experienced this, and I've experienced what comes when you try to live out and apply these principles in your life. And so as we look and consider what the book of Proverbs has to say about anxiety, you know, when we look at Proverbs, it's a wisdom book. It's called wisdom literature. And would you ever really say that it was wise to be anxious? You know, I've never heard anybody say, you know what your problem is, that you're just not worried enough. You know, you need to be more worried, you need to be more anxious. That's never going to happen, because we do a pretty good job of that on our own, for one thing. But secondly, the clear teaching that we see here is that anxiety is unwise, anxiety is destructive, and we're going to be very honest with it. You know, Jesus told us not to be anxious. And when you do something that Jesus tells you not to do, very simply put, it's sin. And so we need to look at it in this context at this level. And because so often we just really accept worry as a part of our lives. Oh, I'm just a worrier. You know, I'm a worry wart, whatever the case may be. And for some reason, that's acceptable. We think that's okay. And we just move forward like we don't have another option. And I don't think that's the case at all. And if we continue in that destructive thought pattern, and as we continue on in our anxiety, it's only going to serve to harm us. And you think about why do we get anxious? Well, it's a form of fear. We think about things that might happen, and when we think about things that might happen, we never think about the good stuff, right? We think about everything that could possibly go wrong, and so therefore we get afraid, and as a result, again, that's what we're talking about here with anxiety, and we're going to see a little bit of the implications of that. But what I think we need to get from this and see this is that anxiety is, in its root, a spiritual problem, and as a result, there is a spiritual solution. And so let's look in Proverbs chapter 12. We start to piece these things together. Proverbs chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 25. We're going to come back to this a few times as well. We'll flip around a good bit, but come back to this. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So the first part of that tells us that anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. That if we continue on in our anxiety over time, it is going to take effect in our life. It's going to be like we're carrying this heavy weight that's always going to stay with us. And if we can only hold on so long before it's going to get to us, before it's going to produce this heaviness in our heart. And one of the things that we've really got to understand is how important our heart really is. If you look over at Proverbs 4, verse 23, it speaks to the importance of our heart. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And what we're meant to understand from that is that everything else that comes in our life, everything else that happens in our life, starts in our heart. So where our heart is, where our heart is centered, is going to produce a certain result in our life. And so it's saying, if you let anxiety get down into your heart, this is what it's going to produce. It's going to produce a heaviness, just like chapter 12, verse 25 says. You're going to produce a heavy heart. You're going to be weighed down. Basically, he's talking about a hopeless feeling where there's a lot of despair, where there's too much fear and not enough solutions, and we can let our minds just completely spiral out of control. We go from one thing that might go wrong to the next, and then we just get a habit of dealing with things and thinking about things this way. And so it begins to really pull us down. So again, if we keep anxiety in, our heart gets heavy, our heart gets sad, and it can break our spirit. Turn over to chapter 17, looking at verse 22. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, we keep this in, and our hearts get heavy. It can make us powerless. It can make us so fearful that we just get paralyzed. To the extent where we don't even want to do anything. And basic tasks can get very difficult to do, much less actually going out there and making a difference and living a wise and a God-honoring life. These things don't happen because we're so dominated by our anxiety. We're so dominated by our fear. And so we got to understand the seriousness of this issue. If this is where our heart is, if our heart is fearful, if our heart is anxious, it's going to produce a result in our life where it robs us of our joy, it robs us of our strength, and it's like our bones are dried up. And on the flip side of that, what we're really looking for, what we're hoping to have, is joy. But anxiety and joy don't exist at the same time, where we're too wound up, we're too scared to actually have joy. So a joyful heart and an anxious heart, again, they don't coexist. Look over in chapter 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. And so again, talking about where your heart is. If your heart is joyful, it will make your face cheerful. If your heart is joyful, you all right there? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, you turn the back ones off. Do you want to flip them the other way? Go flip them the other way. Make it easier to see. Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, now we're talking. Yeah. I'm going to have to squint a little bit right here. That's all right. All right. So again, it's where our heart is. If our heart is anxious, it produces the heavy heart. It produces the dried up bones. But if our heart is joyful, it will produce the cheerful face. Again, if you go back to chapter 17, verse 22 that we looked at just a minute ago, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And so when our heart is joyful, it says it's good medicine. It is good medicine against the circumstances of their life that would generally lead us to be anxious and fearful. And it's vital to remember it's not our circumstances that determine where our heart is. Our heart determines how we respond to our circumstances. And that's an important distinction for us to remember. A lot of times when we're anxious, what it reveals is that in our life, we're relying on too many unreliable things. And the reason that we're anxious is because our heart is set on that unreliable thing, and somewhere deep down we know we can't really count on it. And we know that it could all change in a second. And that's why they get so scared. But if our heart, again, was joyful to begin with, and it was centered where it needed to be, then those circumstances would not be able to change that. But, you know, stuff in life happens all the time, and it reminds us how fickle life is. It reminds us sometimes it can just take a small thing, a seemingly small thing, that can really open up our mind and realize, you know what, everything can change in a heartbeat. What's going on? This could happen, this could happen, and this could happen. And again, it starts us in that downward spiral that's out of control because we're so distracted by the circumstances and the things that are around us. So as we're going in, as a result, we can be joyful, we can be cheerful in these circumstances, but again, it goes back to where your heart is and the difference that's going to make in how we live and how we act. Because again, that joyful heart is a good medicine against the circumstances that come around us, the circumstances that would tend to lead us towards anxiety, so that no matter what is going on, we can continue to live our life, we can continue to fulfill our responsibilities, we can continue to go on and serve God and honor Him and be used by Him in some very hard times and usually in ways that wouldn't have been possible otherwise. What I believe it comes back to is where wisdom begins and starts with in the first place. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One, understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is what we really need to be rooted in, which will lead us to be joyful rather than anxious no matter what comes. So when we're talking about fearing the Lord, we're talking about acknowledging who God is. We're talking about bringing His character into our minds, into our hearts, and seeing everything else in our lives, seeing all the circumstances that come around us in light of who God is. So when we're talking about God, we're talking about knowing that God is good. We're talking about knowing that God is faithful, that He never changes. Talking about knowing that God is sovereign and in control of every single little detail that happens in this life. And so, as tough as it is sometimes to say, anxiety is actually kind of calling God into question. And almost in some sense, is He thinking that He's not maybe really going to be able to make good on His promises and really deliver based on His character? Let me just, can I give you an example? If you look at Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now understand the significance of what this is saying and how very plainly it says it. It says, don't be anxious, but in the counter to that is, hey, if something happens and maybe you're being tempted and maybe you're being pulled towards anxiety, it says to pray. In everything, let your requests be made known to God, and He promises you that if you do that, He gives you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding and does what? Guards your what? Your heart. The center of who you are, from what everything else is going to come from, God promises that as you pray, as you bring everything to Him, He will guard your heart. There will be peace in your heart that is beyond understanding and that nothing can touch. And yet so many times people act like this is not true. I've seen people come and have all these things that are weighing on them, and they're fearful, they're anxious, and even is asking, you know, have you been praying about it? And they just say no. I mean, what do we expect to happen if we don't follow God's very simple prescription for how do we deal with anxiety? But it's almost like saying this isn't going to work. And I've heard people say things like that too. I've tried this. And people are saying, I'm almost going to act like this doesn't work, but God says it does. God says it does. And so that should be enough for us, and we've got to trust Him, and we've got to continue to bring everything in our life to Him. And He promises us that peace. See, I think one of the great problems why we experience fear, why we experience anxiety, is because for so many people, God is just too small. And we fail to realize the depths of His power, the reality of who He really is. You know, people say, oh, all this stuff is going on and everything could go wrong. Well, God already knows everything. God already knows every single little detail, and He is working all of this out. Some will say, but it's really bad, or it could be really bad. It was really bad for Joseph, too. When he was sold, when he was falsely accused, and when he was forgotten, but God worked all of that out to save many lives and preserve His line leading to the coming of Christ. From one perspective, it was really bad for Jesus, too, to be betrayed. You know, to be, again, falsely accused and have a sham of a trial and be tortured and killed. But God was working in all of that. And again, through that, produced and bought His people. He saved His people through that. So God is working in all of this. And think about all the wonderful things that God has done. You know, what else does He have to do to prove to us that He is able to take care of all of the details of our life and work them out for our good, just like He promised He would, and work all things together and for our good and for His glory and for the great purpose that we claim that we live for, to bring Him glory. You know, we're talking about God here who has parted seas, who's raised the dead. Talking about, again, God who speaks things into existence, and then think about the depths of what God accomplished when He saves us. That realizing the depths of our sin, how much we deserve His eternal punishment, we're so separated from Him because of it, and we're going to trust Him and say that I believe God can reach out and save me from that, but I'm scared because I don't really think He can take care of my finances. I'm scared because even though, yeah, I think God can do that, but I don't think He can really, you know, deal with this situation I have at work. I don't really think He can help me with my tests at school. Because if we're afraid, that's basically, you know, and anxializing is basically what we're saying. And so we're talking about fearing the Lord. It's talking about going back and realizing again who God is and thinking about the wonderful things that He's done and living our life based on that. No matter what our circumstances may seem to tell us otherwise. And so it changes our outlook. Knowing God's presence, knowing His salvation, knowing His presence always, always with us. And look back again at chapter 12, verse 25. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. The good word makes it glad. And what is the good word we're thinking about? Well, it has to be the Word of God. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the truth of the Word of God that will once again bring our attention back to Him. That will bring our attention back to His goodness, His faithfulness, His sovereignty, His glory, the fact that He loves us, that He cares about everything that is going on in our life. And the Word of God brings us back to that point. And so when our minds get Godward, that stops us from, again, that dangerous spiral that we go on if we allow our minds to continue moving on in anxious thought after anxious thought. And so our minds can tend to race and go down that spiral, but that's when we have to stop. And we've got to get back to that good word. And we've got to remind ourselves of what that is. Which means you've got to actually, you have to talk to yourself. You got to stop the uncontrolled thinking, the things going on. We got to stop. We got to talk to ourselves. Probably not out loud, but if you have to, that's okay. Okay, we have to stop and talk to ourselves, remind ourselves, bring God's word back to our minds, and that settles into our hearts. And then we can experience the fear of the Lord in our heart. And according to Proverbs 4:23, then the issues of our life will flow from the fear of the Lord, from living like He really is in control, like He really does love us, like He really does care about the things that are going on in our life, and that He really is working all things out for our good and for His glory. So a heart centered on God will not be anxious, because, again, we're seeing everything in light of who He really is. This is the truth. That will always be there to set us free. This is all the truth that will always be there to make our hearts glad, to fill us with joy, and so that we would then live that out. And so this is what always comes back to. It always comes back to understanding who God is, understanding what He's done, that He never changes. And yes, we got to fight that battle, and sometimes it's difficult, and we get pulled in other directions, but we got to keep coming back to that good word, reminding ourselves of who God is and the depths of His love and care and control. And then even the deepest sources of sorrow and anxiety in our life, they do not have to bring us down. And by the strength of God, we can have joy, and we can continue in living for Him no matter what it is that we face. And with that said, let's open it up for any questions related to this at this time. You can put the light back on.
I
really dealt with that pretty much my whole college life. And when it got really bad, that was at two different occasions. There was probably a 6-month period where it was kind of, I don't know how to say it, bottomed out or whatever the case may be. And it would happen on smaller scales at different times, and even some in dealing with that in the seminary. And honestly, part of the problem was that a lot of the message I got from people is, this is just going to happen. And this is just reality, you know, accept it and move on. But I don't think that's the case at all. And I think that's not the understanding who God is and the promises that He gives us, that we can live in joy and peace. And it's really understanding that is what pulled me out. And again, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I can start down that road at any time, but instead of continuing, if we approach it the right way, we can stop it in its tracks. So instead of spending weeks and months dealing with this, I mean, you can stop it in minutes, get your mind focused back on God, and continue to press forward. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these promises and these verses are for believers.
So yes.
And you can hear an unbeliever says they didn't feel God's comfort.
Right.
And didn't have that joy in their life. And then we would need to pray through that it would be the will of God, because I'm afraid sometimes we ask our will in a situation or circumstances that have made our hearts heavy. And we ask something that God doesn't have in His plan for us to do. So I guess what I'm saying is that there's ways that it's not an automatic card that you have.
What do you mean it's not an automatic card?
I mean, if you're a Christian, and something is happening in your life that's causing you some anxiety, and you pray for certain circumstances to change, if it's not God's will, then He may not change them the way you want it.
Right. But see, the promise of God isn't that things are gonna go exactly the way you want. You know, the promise of God is that even if nothing goes the way you wanted, He still gave you peace. And we gotta have a big enough view of who God is, that we're gonna trust Him even in those circumstances and trust that these promises, are indeed, true, for His children. And so I think that's one of the problems again, with why we experience this is because we can get kind of focused on ourselves and want things to go the way that we want, when in reality God might have a completely different plan that involves a much bigger picture than just my life or your life. And we got to be, you know, okay with that. We need to rejoice in that because the assurance we have is that God is working in all of these circumstances. And what He's doing is better than my plan or yours or anybody else's. And we got to trust Him enough, be okay with that, and that's where that peace and that joy can still remain in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think through any circumstance, we have to
wait on the Lord. Absolutely. But see, that goes back to you got to understand that he's worth waiting on, right? That He is. So it all is coming back to your view of God. You know, every time that God is worth waiting on, you can trust Him. You know, He's worth having that patience with, because that's who He is. He's earned it. He's deserved it. He's worthy of that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everybody has your own stories of experiencing this as well, and seeing how God maybe has brought you peace in difficult times too. So.
Would there be a role, because I've heard a lot of people talk, kick around that idea, but we're using antidepressants, roles of medication, going out there by your kind of tail.
Yeah, so what, you're asking like?
Well, just, I've heard people think, well, you know, there's, obviously a lot of times people are going to, especially in the sort of secular world, they're going to, here, let me give you some Zoloft or,
yeah.
Give
you
a pill, happy pills.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell anybody to take a pill or to not. What I do know is that these promises have been around a lot longer than any pill. And that a concern I would have is that it could be a situation where those things might mask underlying issues that need to be addressed for you to truly experience God's work and joy and peace in your life. So I wouldn't it's not my position to tell somebody to do that, but I can feel confident looking at the scriptures that any Christian can experience peace and joy in any of their circumstances. Based on understanding who God is and trusting Him and just looking at these things that we've been talking about tonight. So. Mm-hmm.
If I started reading the book, a Syrian woman has written a book, and it's about the Islamic faith. It's called God Who Hates. And she grew up in Syria in an Islamic society and an Islamic family, and they have the oppression of fear upon the people, upon women especially, in those circumstances. She never knew how much fear was and anxiety was in her life until they moved to America and the free world, and she could study and be respected as a person such as that. She began to see a different way, and she knew that she was no longer in Islam. She was a Christian as far as I can tell. I just started into the book, but she was talking about fear and showing how everyone has their own special fear, and you can make it as big as you want to make it. It's up to you to confront your fear one person is afraid of, another is not.
Yeah, I mean, somebody might be dealing with something, and if they tell you what it is, and it's clearly got them down to you, it might be like, that's completely irrational. But in their head, that's where it's taken them. And I've probably struggled with things that you guys would think, that's crazy, why does that even bother you? And so there isn't any one thing, and I don't really know, sometimes they say like, oh, this is little things, I think I even said that, you know, about little things. There's really no such thing as a little thing in the sense that no matter what it is, if you're not looking at it in the right perspective, it can spiral you down out of control, bring you into deep anxiety. And so, again, we have to be very careful. We'll be checking those things and, again, keeping our minds on every circumstance we come across. We're not letting our guard down thinking, this won't be a big deal. It can become a big deal if we're not approaching it with the right perspective. So, yes, Lori.
I have some good books on the subject, but I just wonder if you have any book recommendations regarding anxiety.
Book recommendation regarding anxiety. Not off the top of my head. Yes.
I've got one. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones
did
a series of sermons in a book on the past called Spiritual Depression.
Mm-hmm.
John MacArthur has one called Anxious for Nothing,
right.
And there's one by Elise Fitzpatrick. Can't remember the title. Fear Anxiety and Worry. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Jerry Bridges has a great book, too. I think God Even Liked Her. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the address, how anxiety cannot survive in an atmosphere of, like, praise. So that's something that he talks about is, find yourself anxious, start having a thankful heart and start praising him, and the anxiety will, it might take a while, but it will diminish as you want to live in that atmosphere of joy and praise.
Mm-hmm.
John Piper's When the Darkness Will Not Fade.
I've actually read that one.
It's mercifully short, too.
Yes. I have that one. If somebody only wants to borrow it. I've actually got the Anxious for Nothing book by MacArthur. I just haven't read it yet. But I'm sure it's good. I think everything he writes is good. So I would, if you want to borrow those, you're welcome to them. Anytime I have those, too. But, okay. Sorry, I don't have a watch. just wondering, let's try this. As we think about our anxieties, we think about who God is. So, briefly, I want somebody to tell me, well, whoever wants to start to tell me, what's one thing you've come to understand about God, or one thing you think about that God has done that brings you peace? So you've seen, hey, he's worked in this before. I don't need to be anxious about it now. Okay?
He took away death, the fear of death.
Yeah.
That's my greatest fear.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He conquered death. No need to fear that. Don't need to fear anything else either, right? Yeah. Okay? What else? Yeah. That's a comfort, huh? Then God knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Close the doors and other ones open.
Yeah. And it's real easy to see that in hindsight, right? Real hard to anticipate that happening in the future. It gets frustrating when the doors close. But, again, it goes back to understanding this is how God operates. Be thankful and not be afraid, even when the door's shut. Yeah. What else? Yeah. Now, Jesus spent his whole life knowing the cross was coming. And he never worried about it. There's a strong testimony of Christians throughout history, characters all throughout Scripture who have faced things and faced them with joy and with peace. And so we got to take those lessons, those applications from what God did with them, realize we were dealing with the same God here today, and we got to apply that in our life and trust in Him and how He's dealing with us. Yeah. Anything else standing out to you about who God is, what He's done, that'll bring you peace?
I think just as a comment on what you said, Jeff, is the fact that what the world sees, we need to be that kind of testimony of a joyful Christian as we go through these trials, because the world is watching us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not, it's not.
You know, people will wonder, how can you face this? How can you have this hanging out over your head and still live in joy? How can you still have peace in that? Because it's pretty obvious, and so it's a great opportunity for a testimony and point back to the grace of God. So all these things go back to being a great witness to God and his glory as well. So. Anything else, Ken? Saying out to you? Yeah.
Suspenseful things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else about that? Yes, sir. Okay.
Would you say David was anxious, depressed, like in the Psalms?
Yeah.
There seemed to be waves.
He bore that out. And if you, like for instance, in Psalm 42, you got David saying, my anxious thought. Well, there's several times. Psalm 42, I can't remember the exact wording. What did he say? Let me go look at it. why are you downcast on my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for all you have praise in my Savior and my God. And you do see the ways in the Psalms where he talks about his anxieties, but if you follow it through, he always comes back to praising God. Psalm 94:19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. And so the Psalms are very real as far as what he experienced. But if you follow them through, there's a lot of deep, raw stuff in there. But it always comes back around. If you just keep it, it comes back around to praising God and being, again, having that peace and that joy in him. So, yeah. It's really a model for how you deal with it.
Being that it's a sin pattern, with any sin pattern, are we guaranteed that we will never deal with it again? Or are there sin patterns that you are tempted with your whole life?
I think for a lot of people, it can be a temptation that will come your way. You're never guaranteed to be free from temptation. You're just guaranteed to have victory over it. And to the extent that we apply this truth from God's Word, we can be tempted to start into anxiety, but we never actually have to enter into it. That's confidence we can have. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's pray.